Amen. Turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. This week, next week, we're going to look at practicing thankfulness. Practicing thankfulness. Now notice the word practice. That means you're doing it. I'm doing it. We're doing it together. All right. So it's not understanding it, but it's living it out. And we could just almost turn to almost any place in the book of Psalms about this concept. But notice Psalm 107, verse 21. It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." So it says to sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, there were practices at the temple where you would bring not for your sin, but simply to give thanks to the Lord. You would bring grain or you'd bring food and different things, sometimes animals to give thanks to the Lord. And it says here that there are two things in this text that we would be giving thanks to the Lord for: his goodness and for his wonderful works. So his goodness is at the center of his character, isn't it? So what is one area that we give thanks to the Lord? Because he's good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Because he loves us, because he has redeemed us. All these things that are true about him. And you know the thing about giving thanks because of who God is? It's the same. All right. It actually doesn't matter what your life looks like right now. You can always give thanks to the Lord for his good. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't have anything to give thanks." His nature, his character. And so that is a long, wonderful list that we give thanks to the Lord about, and for his wonderful works. And this is us looking at the DVD of our life. I can't say DVD in the second service with all the young people. They'll say, "What's a DVD?" All right. At the YouTube of your life, okay? The TikTok of your life, all right? But it's a lot longer. But look what God has done in my life. Look what he has done. So to give thanks for his character, to give thanks for his works, all right? Now, there was an instance in the life of Jesus where someone gave him thanks. And it's an amazing account, all right? And you remember John, at the end of his gospel, he said, "I'm only giving you the highlights." Because if I were to tell you everything that Jesus did, the world could not contain the scrolls. All right. So what we have in the Gospels are selected by the Holy Spirit on purpose for us. All right. For thousands and thousands of years of people knowing God and following God and getting to be a disciple of Jesus. So the fact that we have this is important because it means something to us. All right. So go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Okay. So Galilee being at the top of the Sea of Galilee to the north, and then Samaria, which was above that. So Jesus was in this region, okay? "And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Now, it is, to me, very notable that in the Gospels, the vast majority of miracles were not initiated by Jesus. Please don't be shocked. Okay. They were not initiated by Jesus. Jesus was going somewhere. Jesus was at the synagogue. Now there were some where yes, he initiated, but they're by far in the minority. Okay. So Jesus is traveling. How many know Jesus was always purposeful with his life? Right? He didn't have forever to do what he needed to do. So he's purposeful. So people knew something about Jesus. So here were 10 lepers, and it's notable that they were standing afar off. Why? It was the law. Okay, they had a skin disease. And leprosy sometimes in the New Testament can be leprosy. Sometimes it just represents skin disease. Okay. And so how many of you know if you're on the bus to Livingston and the person next to you has open sores, you might look for another seat on the bus, right? Or the preacher on the bus that's going to preach all the way to Livingston and receive 5 offerings on the way to Livingston. You might want to ask him to have a healing meeting, right? I've been in Zambia long enough to remember that they used to not take up offerings on buses. They used to just preach. And we could just watch Nigerian movies and live our best life. Okay. So they're standing afar off. That's what they were supposed to do. But yet they believed that Jesus could help them. Notice what they asked for. They asked for mercy. Not something they deserved, not something that they worked for, but mercy. And boy, did he have it, didn't he? So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, go show yourself to the priest. Lepers who no longer had leprosy, your skin was healed, you had to go show yourself to the priest to prove that now you could be welcomed back in society. Okay, so the priests were kind of doing some public health back in the day. All right. So, but you didn't show yourself to the priest when you still had leprosy. They were not medical doctors. They were not going to give you some curative help. All right. So Jesus was asking them to go in faith. Amen. All right. So they did. And as they went, as they obeyed Jesus, they were cleansed. Now, that's a really good story right there, isn't it? Okay. And sometimes in the Bible, the healing accounts of Jesus, they end boom right there. All right. They were healed. Yippee. And they all lived happily ever after. All right. But there was something else that happened here. So they, as they went, they were cleansed. But it says in verse 15, and one of them. Now, how many lepers were there? How many got cleansed? 10. How many came back? It's a small percentage, isn't it? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice. Everybody say loud. Okay, so Luke knew it was loud because he was there. Right, with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Message Bible says he kneeled at Jesus' feet. He was so grateful and couldn't thank him enough. All right. Now, it is interesting that Luke brings out he was a Samaritan. Maybe not every one of the 10, we don't know their nationalities, but the Samaritans were the bad guys. All right. So when here in Lusaka, a number of years ago, when there was a Muti murders, who did everybody blame? The foreigners from Rwanda, they had to run to the Catholic Church, 300 of them. You remember that? Benjamin remembers because we fed them one night. All right. You did. Well, those of you that tithed back then, back in the day. All right. And it wasn't small money, okay? And we're happy to do it. So Samaritan, meaning these guys don't even worship correctly. And Jesus made that clear with the woman at the well. So these guys were Samaritans. So this guy is the hero of this account. Now please note that the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus made that up. That was an illustration. This is for real. This happened. Right? So the only person who came back to say thanks in a big way with a loud voice fell on his face was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." So did Jesus notice who gave thanks and who did not give thanks? He did notice. And did it please him that this man gave thanks? All right. Jesus encouraged him. Jesus made him an example for all of Christianity for the rest of, as long as we have a Bible, this guy's a hero, isn't he? Okay. But the question remains, where are the other 9? Where are the 9? Do you know what the answer is? Not with Jesus. Not giving thanks to Jesus. Now, in this account, we have no indication of why. Were they too busy? Were they ungrateful? We simply don't know, but Jesus is rebuking them in their absence, isn't he? They're supposed to be there. They're supposed to be giving thanks, and yet they were not. So a question we have to ask ourselves is, in our life, are we ever counted among the 9? God has done something for us. And like Pumpy's song, silence. Huh? We don't express, we don't come back to God to say thanks. And here's the thing. If that's the case, when we're part of the 9, God does see that and it annoys him. It's not okay. All right. Now, we're going to kind of look at what happens when we do that, when we're among the 9. Because the thing about cultivating thankfulness, this is not the hardest thing in the world to do, to give thanks. Okay? If we were talking about, planting a church in a radical part of Hindu India, that's hard. That's difficult. Okay, that's going to take some effort. All right? But to give thanks to God for who he is and what he's done in our life, we can do that. Every day of our life. All right, now, let's notice some of the repercussions of unthankfulness. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And Romans 1, 2, and the first part of 3 is Paul, the prosecuting attorney. All right, and his conclusion is at the end of his discussion and with lots and lots of scripture, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." People who were apart from Judaism, people that were what we would consider at the time just heathens and non-believing Jews. All right. That everyone needs a savior. And so he's going to kind of show of where some of this chain reaction starts. Romans 1, verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, his," God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen. If you have a Bible that you underline, circle that word clearly. It's an important word, meaning that God's attributes, God showing up as creator, it is not veiled. It is not hidden. His attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Made by who? Made by God. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, listen to this, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. So see God, aware of God. He's clearly seen through his attributes, by his creation. Our response is important. So they don't glorify God as God, all right? They call him Mother Nature. Well, nature isn't a mother. The universe is coming back with karma towards you. No, it's not. Okay. God made the earth and he created you in his image. Amen. So not glorifying God as God, nor were thankful, meaning there's something to be thankful about. And it goes unrecognized. Okay. Now, so those kind of two things start off this chain reaction, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Oh, that is the tagline for the world today, right there. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So the things that we worship are things that we create. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness that was already inside of them. Right? He just gave them up to themselves in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So God showed up, God displayed himself, and then didn't recognize God as God, and then didn't thank God for showing up and for displaying himself for who he is. So that non-recognition of God and that unthankfulness, people are left to themselves. And if you just keep reading in Romans 1, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. All right, of when we are left to ourselves. So thankfulness is the antidote for this. Thankfulness is a remedy for foolishness. Thankfulness is a cure for not seeing God and not recognizing God. Amen. So left to yourself, you're in big, big trouble. 2 Timothy 3, it says, but know this, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times will come. Can we say we're living in the last days? I believe we can say that when we see the indicators in the Bible. So in the last days, perilous times will come. And then Paul, by the Holy Spirit, begins to describe what people will be like. Okay. And it's a long list, and you can just look out the window and see this. Okay. For men will be the lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now just leave that up there, because some of these are like big hairy sins, aren't they? Blasphemers. Proud. I mean, that's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. All right. So, lovers of themselves. But notice right in that list is unthankful. Unthankful. All right? So, I don't want to be in that list. I don't want any part of my life to be shown up of what people are going to be like in the last days. All right? So it's part of a big problem is unthankfulness. Now, unthankfulness, and we're going to see probably a little bit more next week, but unthankfulness is not just to God, but it's to people. Right? So God wants us to cultivate a life of thanksgiving to Him and thanksgiving to one another. Okay. Paul, in its all over his writings, is he would tell the church at Colossae, I thank my God for you. And I'm not doing it privately. I want you to know how much I thank God because of you. And then many, many times, then he says, why? Because I see this and I see this and I see this. He's giving them a shout out, isn't he? Okay. And so, Let me ask you, would people around you call you thankful or unthankful? What would they say? All right. If you were on trial for being a thankful person, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being thankful? Would we have lots of witnesses? Here's the cool thing. This can all change today. If you feel that you have a shaky case against you, right? Now, again, so the we see that in the account of the lepers, we don't know why they were not thankful. All right. Thank God for parents who love their babies and take care of them. Way to go, Dad. Amen. Isn't it great to be in a church with crying babies? With little toddlers. Amen. With kids running around. What a good thing. So, we don't know why the lepers were unthankful. But, in my life, and just my observation, I do think that there is one area that we need to be careful about that will produce unthankfulness, and that is entitlement. Entitlement. That is when you feel like someone owes you something. Okay, you've worked in such a way, and now they are liable to you. How many accountants do we have in the house? Accountants or would-be accountants? All right. So on their balance sheet, it's sitting as a liability. On your balance sheets, it's a receivable. And you are expecting payment, right? Have you ever heard a parent say, I pray you haven't said this as a parent, but maybe you have. As a parent, you've heard somebody say, after all I've done for you. What does that mean? It means there's a ledger. There's a ledger. And I'm keeping track of all I've done for you. And I'm keeping track of what you've done for me. And it's in my favor, right? So people sometimes base their whole families on things like this, all right? Please don't run your marriage like this. Please don't run your marriage like this, Okay, now I believe biblically that a healthy marriage is giving and receiving. There's reciprocal love. Okay, Paul talked about married people that he said it was a distraction. I don't think it's a distraction. I think it's awesome. But he said, you know, if you're married, if you're a guy, then you are thinking about how you can please your wife, right? And that the wife is thinking about, how do I please my husband? Okay. So if you are in a marriage where both parties under the Lord and under His word are, you know, I'm kind of looking out the window with a faraway look at my wife, and my wife says, what are you thinking about? I'm just thinking about how I can please you. That's literally what Scripture says. It's literally what it says. Okay. Yeah. So, but how many of you know in a marriage, you don't settle accounts every day, every week, even every year? Okay. So if I feel entitled that God owes me something, or if people owe me something, then I'm going to be very unthankful when I get it. Okay, let me give you an example. So, PH, I dropped her off at the airport this morning. She's taking her mom back to the States. But on Friday, the Miracle Life board just said, hey, can we just take you guys out to eat? And we didn't know what it was about, but it was just to say we love you. Hey, I've been thinking about you. We're praying for you. All right. And we didn't pay for the bill. Okay. So we said thank you. They didn't have to do that. Very, very much appreciative of that. Okay. Now, end of every month, I get paid by Miracle Life. Paycheck. You know, my phone goes, doop, notification, there it is. When I get that notification, I don't go to the HR office, is right over here. I don't go into the HR office and fall down on my face. Oh, Euphrasia, I love, thank you. No, I don't. Why? I earned it. It's payment of a contract. That's what it is, isn't it? Okay, but if you didn't earn it, you better say thanks. And with God, you haven't earned anything. Nothing. All right? And the kindness and the benevolence that comes to you many times through other people, that's God's conduit often, is that it's biblical to thank God and thank the person. All right? Honestly, I probably could do better with this, but, you know, I greet my wife in the morning, you know, whoever wakes up first, hey, good morning, hey, did you sleep well? I should probably thank her that you're still here. Thank you for sticking with me all these years, all these days. All right? Because sometimes it's a sacrifice, right? Okay, let's look at an example of this in Luke 15. Luke 15, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. What a chapter. Starts off, Jesus is eating with sinners. Not sinning with sinners, please hear me. Sorry, don't hear me, hear the Bible. Hear the Bible. Jesus is not sinning with sinners. He's eating with sinners. He's showing them kindness. He's showing them love. He's showing them value. Amen? They insulted him by trying to say, he's a friend of sinners. Thank you. All right? So, and they have a question for the disciples. Why does your master show attention to sinners? Why does he do that? Right? And so there is a lost sheep, lost coin, and a rebellious son. Okay, the son is not lost. He knows exactly how to get home. Okay. So, and at the end of each of those accounts, there is rejoicing that what was lost is found. The sheep is back. The coin is now with the owner. The son has come home. There's rejoicing. Okay, so it's pretty consistent in all three accounts, except for the last one, because there are two brothers. One left, one never left. Okay, so let's pick up the account here. Luke 15:22. But the father said to his servants, this now the younger son has come home. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found, and they began to be merry. So consistent with the sheep and the coin. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. How many know that's a good day? There's a party at my house. I don't know why, but it's still happening. My dad's throwing it. Guess what? I don't have to pay a ticket. If there's music and dancing at your house, you should be smiling. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Messed up people don't go to the party. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father. Okay, now here's the source of the anger. Lo, these many years. How do I know many years? Because I've been counting. Year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, year six. These many years I've been serving you, I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat. Another translation says a skinny goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. Nobody said anything about harlots. Religious people are experts about the sins of others. Who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. So what was he saying? I deserve a party. There was a pastor, true story, that was giving the account of this in Luke 15, and he sarcastically changed the end of the story, that when the older brother rebuked his father, he sarcastically said, and the father apologized and said, you know what, son, you're right. You're the one who deserves a party, and we're going to even have a bigger party for you tomorrow. And there was a guy on the back row of the church that stood up and shouted, that's the way it should have ended. Ooh, struck a nerve with that old timer, huh? Lo, these many years. Right. So what is one of the things we don't see about the older brother? There's no thankfulness. He has a roof over his head. He has a job. I know that jobs can be tough, right? And there are problems with jobs and businesses. But do you know if you have a job that you're complaining about? Do you know how many millions of Zambians would like to trade places with you so that they could have a job that they can complain about? No thankfulness, no gratefulness for being with the Father. Only what I deserve. Okay? Ungrateful people are typically jealous and envious of others. Because it's not fair. If it was fair, I'd be getting more. I'd be getting what's coming for me. Yeah, I see this with people when it comes to like finding a guy or finding a lady, getting married. That girl. Yeah, I know why she got married. Yeah. I remember her back in university. Yeah. Why, God? Why? That is a real bad symptom of a heart problem. Okay? So the antidote, again, is to give thanks. To live a life of thankfulness. Now here's the thing. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. It doesn't mean things don't need to be fixed. It doesn't mean that, God, I would love, and I believe your word promises that there's some other things that can happen, and I'm trusting you, and I'm working, and I'm, Lord, I want things to go higher. It doesn't mean you don't have expectation, but right now, I'm thankful. Paul put it this way. He said, I've learned in every state, he was talking about financially, I've learned in every state to be content. Content. All right? Some of the greatest years of our marriage were the first couple of years where we didn't have much money. All right? We didn't have a lot of options. All right? But we had a lot of joy. There was still generosity. Okay? We were just careful which nights we ate pizza, because only on Monday nights it's $3 off. Can't eat meat. You can't eat pizza on Tuesdays. All right. Let's look at this verse. And we're going to look at a verse, and then the worship team is going to come and help us to practice this, because we're talking about practicing thankfulness. Worship team, you can come. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. So again, that was Old Testament worship when you went to the temple, all right? Now, you are the temple of God. All right, so worship happens not just when you go to a place, but it happens wherever you are, all right? And so that's why the New Testament says, be thankful in everything, all right? Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. All right, let's stand to our feet. For some of you, this is a nice old song. For some of you, you've never heard this song in your life. And so it's a new song to you. So that's awesome. All right. But what I'd ask you to do is, and I know we're with people and it's good to hear each other sing and we're together, but I'd ask you just to close your eyes, because it's just a way for this to be personal between you and God. You don't have to be looking around. You don't have to be looking on the stage, but just close your eyes and sing this to the Lord.
Give thanks.